This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. Maybe you have read or heard of a so-called rags-to-riches story, where a person is able to change their life circumstances from poverty, or rags, to marvelous wealth and riches. I think this is fairly rare to happen, and that is why it makes for an engaging story to be told. Even worse than poverty is when you owe millions in debt because you have to pay your way out of debt to even reach a poverty-level income. Now, if you listen to this program on a weekly basis, you know that it is at this point where I turn the discussion to spiritual matters. Today is no exception. When people come to realize their spiritual condition in the presence of Holy God, they learn that they have a debt of sin they owe to God that is enormous. It is truly massive. We need a solution to this problem, and I have the answer for you in this program. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Our website address is visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website. Again, visionforchristworld.com. Just click on Contact at the top of the main page. Two of the main themes of the Bible are forgiveness and reconciliation. Jesus often taught in word pictures called parables. Here is one from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, about owing debt and receiving debt forgiveness. Remember that in his parables, Jesus used physical earthly things as spiritual symbols. So when Jesus talks about debt, he does not ultimately mean money. He means the debt of sin that all people owe to God. In the most famous prayer ever, what people call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, we read, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we ourselves have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." In this prayer, the debts are really sins, that is, actions, thoughts, and words that are opposed to God and against the will of God. When people pray this prayer, they are asking God to forgive their sins, not to pay off a debt of money here on earth. Here is that story I referred to earlier from Matthew 18. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He could not pay. So his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, in order to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave all his debt. But when that same man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000s. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time to pay. "Be patient with me, and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor would not wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt, millions, because you pleaded with me. You should have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you." Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That is what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. You see, we owe God a huge debt of sin, which is far more than we can ever pay, no matter who we are. God is morally perfect and has no sin. He is wealthy beyond all description in moral perfection. When we sin, we are creating moral debts owed to God. God calls on you to pay up in full, but you are spiritually bankrupt. You have nothing worthwhile with which to pay. Romans chapter 3 explains this very well. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Together they have become worthless. So God makes a way for you. He sends his only son, Jesus, to earth to die a horrible death on a cross of execution, which pays off your debt of sin at the point where you believe in Jesus as your spiritual substitute to pay off your debt of sin, which then makes you acceptable to God. When you do this, you are not only debt-free from your debt of sin, you now have access to the spiritual riches of heaven, which is far more valuable than money on earth. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ephesians 1:7 continues the theme of riches when it says, "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." 1 John 2:2 notes that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. To achieve this debt forgiveness from God, we must follow Acts 3:19, "Repent, therefore, that your sins may be blotted out." So far, I've talked a lot about sin and debt. Now let me focus on the positive side, the spiritual wealth and riches that people inherit from God by faith in Jesus. I'm going to share a few portions from the letter of the Apostle Paul written to the church at Ephesus so long ago in Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. Ephesians 1, 3-14, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. For he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He did this by predestining us to adoption as his legal heirs through Jesus Christ, according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace that he has freely bestowed on us in his dearly loved Son. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our offenses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He did this when he revealed to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, toward the administration of the fullness of times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in heaven and the things on earth. In Christ, we too have been claimed as God's own possession, since we were predestined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. And when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in Christ, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who is the down payment on our inheritance, until the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." Now let's jump down to Ephesians 2, 4-10. "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in offenses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he raised us up together with him and seated us together with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, to demonstrate in the coming ages the surpassing wealth of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his creative work, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so we can do them." And then skipping down a little further in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8-21. This grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the very deep riches of Christ, and to enlighten everyone about the secret plan of God, the mystery that has been hidden for ages in God, who has created all things. The purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God should now be disclosed to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. This was according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access to God by way of Christ's faithfulness. For this reason I ask you not to lose heart because of what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that according to the wealth of his glory, he will grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in the inner person, that Christ will dwell in your hearts through faith, so that because you have been rooted and grounded in love, you will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you will be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power that is working within us is able to do far beyond all that we ask or think, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Finally, in closing, I want to quote one of my favorite sections from Romans chapter 10 that shows how to get out of spiritual debt and move into massive spiritual riches in heaven. Here's how it reads. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and thus has righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses and thus has salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, who richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins. Honestly, sincerely repent, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our website address is visionforchristworld.com. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. That website address, visionforchristworld.com. Search our Facebook page as Vision for Christ World. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I urge you to book your reservation for heaven today. Get your name into the book of life for eternal life. I will leave you today with this text from Revelation 20, verse 15. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.